Third one, Pergamos. Pergamos, about Jesus coming with great zeal against sin and compromise in our life. You know why? Why Jesus is so hard on sin? Why he judged? See, we won't understand his heart. If you don't understand his heart, we will not understand judgment. We will be offended by judgment. The reason he wants to judge is because he knows that sin and compromise rob us of our fullness in him. We don't realize, but the Lord knows. That's why he is jealous. He will war and confront it. Not because he's upset that we didn't abide by his rule. He's a dictator. Because he sees and he knows. So he'll come at war against it. That's why judgment, you know, we call it God. Judgment is God wants to remove all things that hinders. If we would turn, he will what? Relent. He will relent. So that's Pergamos Church. Fourth one, Thyatira. Thyatira. Jesus is revealed as a jealous God who will war against immorality among his people. Okay, he's big time against immorality. Because immorality eats up. Eats us up. We lose, our spirit become dull. Our spirit lost its vibrancy. Our hearts slowly become numb. That's the most dangerous. That's why Jesus will come against. That's why one of the spirits that works most powerfully at the end of the age, we all know, is called Jezebel's spirit. Jezebel's spirit is not primarily about control spirit. Jezebel's spirit primarily is to attack the prophetic spirit. Is to attack the prophetic spirit. Two ways to kill the prophetic spirit is immorality and idolatry. Yeah, so don't look at a strong woman who more domineering, and we always kind of like, you know, whenever I see a woman that's domineering, yeah, Jezebel. No, give her, she just needs some help to tone down a little bit. No, that's not Jezebel. Jezebel's spirit is not primarily control spirit. Okay, primarily is to attack the prophetic spirit. That's why the Lord is jealous about it, because the church is supposed to be prophetic. We are supposed to be prophetic. Fifth one. The Sardis Church. Sardis Church. Jesus came having the seven spirit because Sardis Church is dead. He wants to revive. He wants to release the fullness of the spirit to revive his people. That's the thing. Okay. Sixth one. Philadelphia's Church. Philadelphia Church. And Jesus revealed himself as holy, trustworthy, and powerful, primarily emphasizing his faithfulness, his commitment, and he will intervene. No, I love this. Jesus is willing and he's able. A lot of time I'm willing, but I'm not able. And a lot of time I may be able, but I'm not willing. But he is both willing and able. He's trustworthy. He's powerful. He's holy. Last one, Laodicean. Laodicean. Primarily, Jesus is jealous for their heart. That's why he came as faithful and true to his word. He speaks the truth. Okay, so that's the second one. Revelation of Jesus. Third one, affirmations by Jesus. Affirmation by Jesus. Is Jesus give affirmations to the only five churches. There are two did not have any affirmations. Okay. Yeah, there are five churches that receive affirmation. You want to pay attention to the affirmation, because the affirmation tells us what matters to Jesus, what Jesus won, what they did right, and because of that, they receive reward. You know, we call it the GDP of God. Not the gross, gross domestic product. Gross domestic product. No, this is the kingdom GDP. God-determined plan. There are things that matter to the Lord. There are things that Jesus won. When Jesus affirmed, he's basically telling that, this is right. You know what I want. Okay. So five churches have affirmations. Two do not have. Sardis and Laodicean did not receive any affirmation. Wow. No, I don't want. No. I don't want. No. Kind of like, okay, I don't want to be associated. Okay. Yeah. So there are 10 things that Jesus affirmed. Okay. I just run through quickly. I'm not going to elaborate what it is. Because these 10 things define success. in the eyes of God. And we want to pay attention because one day, all of us will stand before the Lord. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. You know, the saved, the redeemed, the saints too will stand before the judgment seat of God, and the Lord will judge. That's 2 Corinthians 5, of our works here on earth, so that he can reward us. Eternal reward. It's very important to find out what matters to God. Need to find out. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Let me turn to 2 Corinthians 5 first. Everyone, you know, a lot of time we lack the fear of God because we do not realize that how we live here on earth, whatever we do, God will hold us accountable. It's called stewardship. Not because he's angry, he's kind of like watching, no. No, he wants to reward us. But yet, he will correct us. We need to understand. That's why Paul said that it's terrifying to stand before the judgment seat of God because we want to receive good affirmations. You say, yeah, that's, maybe it doesn't matter, no, Jesus loves you. No, he loves you. But when he rebukes you before, no, you have not, no, I don't, okay, let me not share about the encounter and so on. But when he rebukes you, it's terrifying. When men rebuke you, you feel horrible, but the Lord rebuke you with love. It's different feeling. You don't know how to process that. It's hard to process. He loves me, yet he rebuked me, but he's right. He's right. Yes, sir. No, there's no way you can explain to him. He's going to ask you, young man, were you faithful in this? He can explain. You have no chance to explain because he knows everything. All you need to do, yes, God, yes, yes. That's it. It's terrifying. Take me to 2 Corinthians 5. Terrifying yet love. You know, it's kind of like, how do you process it? Your brain is kind of like burned. He loves me. Not this, he loves me. He loves me not, okay? No, no. He loves me. Yet, he said, I rebuke you. Nevertheless, I'm correcting you for that. Oh! Then after that, let's come into my kingdom. Oh, I don't know how that works. You know, it's scary, terrifying, yet full of joy. That's why I'm giving my all just to earn that affirmation. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And I say that to one of the person when I minister overseas. The person cry, I don't want to be a servant. I want to be the bride. And I say, never mind. Settle that first. You know, you want to hear that. You know, pass the gate, you're the bride already. No, I mean, everybody will be bright. That's not get into the theological issue. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5. Second, we all owe it to ourselves to have a revelation of the reality of eternity. It will affect how we live here on earth. We all need that reality. Not in our mind. I'm talking about reality. Then we will live with an eternal perspective. It will affect how you spend your time, how you spend your money. Because you know that how you live here on earth primarily is the issue of time and money. It will affect you before the judgment seat of God. And how much you receive eternal reward. Say, oh no, my heart is very pure. I don't need any reward. Later I'll run through that. It's biblically wrong to teach people that don't go for reward. Jesus wants us to go after reward. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, talking to believer, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Listen to verse 11. Knowing therefore, he didn't say joy of the Lord. Music is going on. No, probably sing a well done. Hallelujah. No. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. There is the joy part when you are near to him, but there's a terrifying part. Proverbs say the fear of the Lord is what? Dreadful. We need to understand fear and intimacy, not either one. It's both. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord is in the context of judgment seat. We persuade men, but we are well known to God, and we also trust are well known in the conscience. You know why? It says live well. Live well. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Paul talks about building on the right foundation. Unfortunately, we are primarily just discipling people that today you are safe, you go to heaven, happy ever after. No, there's something more. Let's read. Paul is not just about ministry, it's about our life. Ministry is only one expression of our life. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We all are building on the foundation of Christ Jesus. And from there, we build our life presenting to the Lord at the end of the age. Before the judgment seat, they say this. Now, if anyone build on this foundation which Jesus has laid, what? Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. I will define for you what is all these things. It's very vital. Because in our life here on earth, we primarily build our life on these six things. Either gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw. It's nothing to do with what we do. It's got to do with the intention of our heart. What does Paul say? So we are now coming to that day, the day of judgment. Each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Let me refinish and I'll tell you what it means. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will what? Receive a reward. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But this is not about losing salvation. He suffer loss. But he will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Like we commonly say, saved by the skin of fire. Oh, no, saved by the skin. Not saved by the skin of fire. Is that such a skin of fire? Saved by the skin. That's where when you study the gospel, there are many instances where it talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not primarily every incident is about losing salvation. They are saved by the skin. You know what this means? Whatever we build here on earth, either we build gold, build on it on gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. When we stand before the judgment seat of God, Jesus will take, I know this is just an illustration, and throw it into the fire and test. If you build on gold, silver, precious stone, it will endure. But if you build on wood, hay, and straw, it will burn up. You get nothing. You suffer loss. You suffer loss of the inheritance that you're supposed to receive. What is gold? Silver, precious stone. Gold is primarily to do with our heart and our character. Silver is primarily to do with our motives. Because our motives is very important. Precious stone is primarily to do with godly values. Any other thing, whether you work in the marketplace, you serve in ministry, is to express these three things and build on it. What is wood? Hay and straw. Wood is work of the flesh. Every work that is not built on faith is dead work. It means nothing. What is hay? Wrong motives or impure motives. What is straw? Non-essential. We have a lot of non-essentials. That at the end of the day, it does not count before the kingdom of God. So find out this affirmation. I dwell a little bit longer because this affirmation is very important. There are 10 affirmations. Let's run through quickly. Good works, endurance, hatred towards evil, hatred towards wrong doctrine, being persecuted for his name's sake, not being persecuted for our own stupidity. The one is called we deserve it. Okay, faithful to Jesus, love, service, faith, and obedience. Now, I run through quickly because all inside the two letters. I mean, no, the two chapters, seven letters to seven churches. So these are 10 things that the Lord affirms that we want to know. Okay, fourth one. Correction and rebuke. Primarily, it's because they compromise. Okay, and again, we want to pay attention because these are things that Jesus dislikes and he hates. What we should not do and we must not do. Okay, 5 churches received correction. 2 did not receive any correction. That's Smyrna Church and Philadelphia. Okay, both seem to be the weakest in the eyes of the world, but they have no correction at all. Wow. Great. Okay, 5. Ephesus, primarily is because she lost her first love. She lost her first love. First love is the most important. That's why wherever we go, wherever I go, if I minister, you know, whatever anointing, Holy Spirit anointing and so on, at the end of the day, oh God, bring us higher in IHOP 3.0 or whatever. At the end of the day, I always come back to this. We need to realign back to, at the end of the day, Jesus has to be our great reward. He is our first love. He is the one thing. That's the key thing. So Ephesus, lost first love. Pergamos, tolerate wrong teaching or wrong doctrine. So we must speak up. No, this is not about, you know, a lot of time we don't want to say anything. It's because, oh, for the sake of unity, let's not criticize. This is not about criticizing. This is about speaking the truth. Because if there are wrong doctrine and we are silent, we are actually allowing people to be continuously be deceived. No, the issue is, I'll come to it, I will deal with it clearer in a sense. We are not speaking against the person. We are addressing the issue. Please understand that. This is a hyper grace. I mention a lot about hyper grace, but I don't mention the person. If I talk about a person, I say, the man is a good man. To be fair, he's a good man. But address the issue. We need to address the issue. Okay? Yeah. The third one is Thyatira, because they tolerated immorality and idolatry. Thyatira. The fourth one is Sardis Church. Dead works. Dead works. The last one, only 5 churches got rebuked. Thank God. Hello. Last one is Laodicean. Lukewarm and passive. Lukewarm and passive. Jesus used very strong words. Say, I have this against you. Wow. This is scary. This is terrifying. Okay. Scary and terrifying. But we need to understand correction and rebuke is not rejection. That's what the book of Hebrews chapter 12, 4 to 6 says. Because you are my son. I love you and I discipline you. It's out of love. Okay. So that is fourth one. Fifth one. Exhortation to respond. Okay, to me, this is probably one of the most important, if it's not the most important. That means what we must do so that we can overcome. So that we are not just hearing. Hearing is very important, but hearing without responding in accordance to the Bible. The Bible defines true hearing is after you have heard and you respond. If we have heard and we have not responded, we have not heard. Mark 4, verse 23. Just write this down. I have no time to turn to it. Mark 4, verse 23. Jesus said this, take heed what you hear. It's important to hear correctly. Mark 4, verse 23. Take heed what you hear. Both are in the context of the parable of a sower. Parable of sower is primarily about hearing. So Mark 4, verse 23, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. We have to be careful what we are hearing. But there's something even more important after hearing. Let's Luke 8, verse 18. In the same context of the parable, but the different issue that Jesus is addressing. Mark 4 is what you hear. Luke 8, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. How you hear. It's important to hear correctly. It's even more important after you hear. What are you going to do about it? There's so many people keep telling me, is there anything new? I say, there's nothing new. God is saying the same thing. Intimacy, prayer, fasting, read the Bible. That's it. I say, can I have higher revelation? I say, if you just do some of this fundamental, you will be all right. It's about how you hear, respond. Whether it's homecoming, IHOP, and whatever, God is primarily saying about the same thing. Seek His face. Pray. Come together, unity. Fast. Read the Word. Everything has to be anchored on the Word. We will be all right. If the problem is we are not responding, we are going from conference to conference to conference, waiting for the zap. No, I'm not against going to conference. I'm saying that the key is after we have heard it, what do we do? Do we respond? So that's Luke 8, verse 18. Take heed how we hear. There's one more. One is what we hear. Two is how we hear. The third one is Joel 2, verse 12. What is Joel 2, verse 12? Now, therefore, we often miss out the word now. You know why? Now is very important. Respond is now. We always say, we often say tomorrow, tomorrow. That's why we never get going. That's what Joel 2, verse 12 talks about, that what? The day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can endure? Then the Lord gives the answer from verse 12 all the way to verse 17. If you will respond in this way, you will be all right. And He started with the first word. What? Now. Respond is now. You know, we like to say, yeah, we will change. You know, that's where we get it wrong. Respond is now. Change takes time. We like to think that respond, we can wait, but change will come suddenly. It doesn't work that way. Respond is now. Change takes time. The Lord is constantly moving. His movement is moving. It's not that He's impatient. He doesn't want to wait. He's moving. That's why beginning this year, I did say, the train of the Lord is moving. Let's hop on it. Don't wait until the gap is too far. We cannot catch up. That's why we always need to be now. I said, wow, now 10 more things to respond. It's because we haven't responded. By next year, it'll be 20 more things to respond. Then by another year, it's 30 things to respond. It's kind of like we tell ourselves, God, can you slow down? He said, I've always been slowing down for the last 2,000 years. Just that we have not responded. Now, we keep accumulating. Right now, it's like, oh, this is so much. What do I do? There's only one answer. Start now. Now. You can sit there and say, oh, 15, what do I do? No, let me figure out. No, just start now. That's the key. That's why this is very important, the exhortation to respond. You can read all we want, have all kinds of encounter we want. We have not responded. We are not going to change. We will not change. Not that God is not powerful enough. He needs us to respond. Not just take heed what we hear. Not just take heed how we hear. Now. I mean, I was sharing what God is doing. You know, many people, it's kind of teary in the eyes. Say, you've told me all this 5 years ago. How come we haven't really do it? To me, it's this. 5 years over. Press the delete button. The most important thing is this. What are you going to do now? Don't wait another 5 years, then say, 5 years again, I didn't respond. I don't have another 5 years. I'll be 60. No, thank God. 59. We don't have another 5 years. No, I'm not saying that we are going to die or whatever. We don't have another 5 years. We are being deceived. That's why I tell people, please change the culture of this house of prayer. Because a lot of time, we are more devil's advocate than God's voice. Have you read 10 chapters of the Bible today? I did not. It's okay, don't worry, just take it easy. You are advocating for someone to backslide. Say, why don't you start now? Tomorrow read 20, please. With love, don't do it with, not about that. We have a problem. Have you realized that? We have a problem. We bargain down, then bargain up. I read, some of y'all know John Bonini, right? He has such anointing. He's like a territorial spirit of Uganda. For 3 years, there's no stronghold, nothing in the place because of him. You know what? I was hearing someone's testimony about someone who knew him personally. All he did, I mean, just one, I just mentioned one. He read 25 chapters of the Bible a day. Man, I'm going for 26. My wife is started already. She gonna scold me. Say, you use me again to mention. Nah, that's you, because I'm so encouraged. Because she wake up and say, no time, I'm working. She's also working. She wake up at 5 to read it. She wake up at 5 to read. She said, wow, I have no life now. You know what's my answer to her? She's really going after the real life. Because all our perspective of life is all wrong. They think life is watching YouTube. Life is reading the Bible and life comes to you. So she said, 2 days, she said, I finished Genesis already. Wow, so fast. They say, yeah, Genesis 50 chapters. 1 day, 25 chapters. Second day, finished. Now she's in Leviticus already. I'm still at Genesis because I'm starting 15. So I said, I better catch up. Better catch up. No, this is not about measuring up or the requirement. Do it for yourself. Respond is for yourself. Don't respond for me. I can't give you any reward. I don't stand beside Jesus as a great white throne judgment. Annabelle did good. Give her one more crown. Just give her one more Jesus. No. My whatever you call it, I can't find it. My tips to Jesus doesn't matter. Do it for yourself. You know, we have another problem. Hey, I work in the marketplace, so I can't do it. Something is wrong. You know why something is wrong? Our life is being defined by where we work than defined by Jesus. What is the centrality of our life? Jesus, not where you work. It's about making the adjustment to align with the Lord. If we can't do it, let's all quit. Don't talk about end time church. We can't even read 25 chapters a day. I'm not asking you to read 25 chapters. I'm talking about some of this thing. And then when we do devil's advocate some more. It's okay, Cynthia, don't pray so much. Kei Chong is a bit too hard. 1 hour in tongues, we got time. It's for you to find the time. You got lunch, right? You got breakfast, right? We can. It's for yourself. Trust me, the more you do it, it's going to change. You say, this thing doesn't work. People always tell, every time people tell me this thing doesn't work. My question is very straightforward. Have you done it? Say, no. That's why it doesn't work. The Bible is very boring. So when is the last time you read the Bible? 2 years ago. That's why it's so boring, because you haven't even touched it. The more you read, the more your heart comes alive. The more you pray, the more your spirit is stirred up to engage the Lord. You don't wait until you feel exciting, then you read the Bible. You read the Bible while you feel so bored. After a while, you will become excited because your heart comes alive. The Bible say very clearly, what? Psalms 19, the word of the Lord is perfect. What is the result? Reviving our soul. We want to wait until our soul revive, then read the word, then why even bother? Revive already. All the more is we need to read. I'm not scolding you. I'm exhorting you. Just a bit strong only. Yeah, okay. So the fifth one is exhortation to respond. It's now. Okay. I just read through quickly. There are 13 exhortations. Okay. Remember, I will explain what all this thing means as we go specific letters. Remember, repent, do not fear, be faithful, hold fast, keep my work, be watchful, strengthen, buy from me, anoint your eyes, be zealous, anoint your eye, not anoint my eye. Jesus doesn't need we anoint his eyes. No. I tell you, God is giving us a very powerful word. If I have time, I'll share with you about this eye thing. Okay. Anoint your eyes, be zealous. Open the door. We should shut many doors of activities in our life. We should open one big door for Jesus to come in. You know, I list out some of the requirements. The goal is not to meet the goal. The goal is to do the goal, to achieve the higher goal, to become the man and the woman that God is looking for. Get it? I know, it's kind of like one mouthful. Doesn't matter. Okay, let's go fast. I have 5 minutes. 6, call to overcome, which is the main theme of the entire book of Revelation, is the main call, overcomers. To overcome. Okay, to overcome, you know what is to overcome? To overcome is to walk in spiritual maturity and to be consistent in obedience and faithfulness, even in the midst of challenges. Got it? The key is to be consistent. I give a very strong word to our young people out of love. Yeah. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. Young people, you will be the finest generation. You will be the finest generation. But unfortunately, please get this right by the grace of God. You will be the finest generation. For sure, you will surpass me. Surpass me is no big deal, lah. Not many people surpass me. If you aim to surpass me, your goal is very low. But what I'm trying to say that about this overcoming primarily is being consistent until the very end. This generation will be the finest generation, but this generation is also the most inconsistent generation. You got to get this thing right. Why? Is it true? I don't even need to prophesy. Most young people don't have consistent quiet time. Then how do you be overcomer? You can't even spend time regularly with the Lord. Actually, it's not hard. Just schedule your time. Don't go on this. I feel like it. I pray. You never pray. I met those intercessors that are so intimate with the Lord. They give me some keys to grow in prayer that I can't wow, it was so simple. No, I don't need to attend conference. All you need to do is to schedule your time. What a great revelation. Yes, that overcome that inconsistent. Then you know. That's why I ask you the questions. Do you know exactly every day when you're supposed to pray? Do you know exactly every day when you're supposed to read the Bible? Do you know exactly every day when you're supposed to spend time with God? It's just easy to solve, but we don't lock it down. That's the key thing. Okay, so there are 7 specific areas to overcome. Passion, because I say end of the age, the primary issue is passion. Either passion for Jesus or passion for the world. Second, fear and persecution. Third, false doctrine and false teaching. Fourth, immorality, idolatry, and sorcery is going to increase. We need real light, real power, real authority. If not, we are not going to overcome. I mean, I was so blessed last week. I was attending a closed-door meeting among a few people where a ex-high-level witch doctor came and shared, become Christian. He asked a very thought-provoking question. He said, how do you lead people like me to Christ? Because he has real power. Witch doctor controlled the whole of East Africa in the spirit realm. How do you lead people like me to Christ? Say John 3:16. Say it's not going to work. I'm going to kill you. I mean, now he has changed. He has converted. That's why this is so important. Immorality, idolatry, sorcery is going to increase. We are only at the tip of the iceberg. If you don't have real power, we will not overcome. You think some good music is going to push back darkness? No. 5th one, hyped, fake, superficiality is creeping into the church. There's so much hype now. That's the key thing. Okay. 6th one, compromise out of weakness. We got to get out of this. No, we never graduate. Please get me right, okay? We will never graduate from this reality of I'm weak but sincere. But we have to set the goal of that. My goal is to become strong, to become mature. Because that can become a lie in our mind. I'm weak, it's all right, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you even if you are a worm. That's not an issue at all. No, just being strong. It's true. It's a non-issue. But why do you want to stay there? Get what I'm trying to say? Song of Song didn't stop at chapter 1, verse 5. I'm dark but lovely. That is a launching pad. Song of Song, the goal is to be at chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this coming out of the wilderness? Leaning upon my beloved, the mature bride that come forth. No, Jesus loves us whether we are weak or not. But his goal, the fullness he wants for us is what? Mature. That weak but sincere give us the confidence that no matter at where we are, we don't draw back. We always come to God. We always come to God. But we are coming to God, not just ask him to lick our wound. But for us to grow strong, he will give us grace. That's the key thing. The goal Jesus is looking for is a mature bride. Amen? Let's go beyond that. No, don't get me wrong. We never graduate from that dark but lovely because that gives us confidence. But sometimes that can become a license to stay there. No, I'm weak, I'm weak, I'm weak. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Then we are buying into a lie to stay in that. A truth can become a lie if our application is wrong. Get what I'm trying to say? We got to apply it correctly. That's the key thing. Last one, passivity. Passivity. Overcoming is this about seven areas to overcome. Overcoming is about consistently and constantly reaching for fullness. We never known when we will ever achieve fullness. That is never my question. People always ask me, can we ever love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind? My reply is always, that's the wrong questions. I don't care about whether I will be able to love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind here on this earth. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Even if I reach 60, still better than now. So the wrong question is, can I do it? Does it mean that you can't? That means you backslide. That's the wrong question. The question is not whether you can achieve love God with all heart. The question is, I'm going for it. Tell me how I'm going for it. So that's sixth one, call to overcome. The seventh one. I'm going to go quick. 9:30. Promise of eternal reward. You want to study that because it empower our heart. There are 22 rewards that's being mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. Okay, total of 40. In the entire book of Revelation, okay, probably the most in-depth teaching. I think we lose the eternal perspective because we hardly talk about eternal reward. And when we talk about eternal reward, there's no sense of reality. We need to understand. These are some things that is given to us and is forever, okay? I'm going to go quick, no time, okay? I'm just going to read. Why eternal reward? The first one is part of our destiny and our inheritance. So it's not true and correct to teach that. It's not important. Jesus is a person. Jesus mentioned more about rewards than anyone in the entire Bible. More. If Jesus says it's important, who are we to say it's not important? It's not biblical to teach that it's not important. You know, some people say, I understand their heart, but that's not correct motive. Say, oh, no, my heart is pure. I just want to love Jesus. I don't need reward. So my word sometimes, are you more noble than Jesus? Jesus said, you need to go for reward. He said, I don't need. Jesus got it wrong. No. So we need to understand that. So it's part of our inheritance. Second, it's given to every believer who live in the way that glorified Jesus here on earth. We have this wrong mindset of that everybody received the same reward. No, it's not true. Heaven is not a communist system. Everyone will have different reward depending on how you live here on earth and how you carry your heart before the Lord. That's why the audience of one. Audience of one is not just for our prayer sets. Audience of one is every moment of our life we live before the audience of one. How I live here on earth, okay? So it's not true that everybody will receive the same. No, some will have more, some will have less, some will have none. Unfortunately, okay? Third one, Rewards are given to motivate and stabilize our heart. That's why Jesus is wise. He gives us reward is to stabilize and motivate our heart primarily for two things. Okay, one is we live here on earth with an eternal perspective. You know, most people are not too motivated about eternity, you know, because we have no clue. Go to heaven, what do we do? You know, when I grew up, I mean, I always use this illustration because it's so true, you know, because that's what I believe. People told me that heaven is boring, you know, go to heaven, all you get is a white robe, you know, because God runs out of his creativity, use up all the color here on earth, so only white robe, and give you a harp. For people who don't play music like me, what's the use of the harp? I go to the meeting, well, the harp is really big, so I don't need them all. Then you float on a cloud. How big is the cloud, depending on how faithful you are? If you're not very faithful, you got to balance. If you're very faithful, wow, very big, you know. So, okay, Cynthia, come. Yours too small. Come over. Oh, mine too small. I can't balance. Can I hop on? Then she said, no. That's my idea. That's not heaven. Then what are we looking for? Do you know that heaven, you have crowns? You have thrones? Your robes shine in different degree. You have mansion. I don't know whether condominium or landed. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. No, you have. This is what we don't know. This is what people always say, Kechong, when are you going to upgrade? I'm not waiting for my upgrade now. I'm waiting for my upgrade the other side. Because the one here, what, freehold, right? Bluffy one, there's nothing that's freehold. Jesus come back, no more hole already. There's only freehold is the other side. I'm looking for the other side. So you're going to stay your landed here, freehold here. I'm planning for my landed, the other one. That's a real freehold. It's true, because that's eternal. That's why we don't understand. One second is empower our heart so that when we face crisis and persecution, we know that Jesus will reward us. You know, one of the great reward of martyrs, not Mary and Martha, martyrdom, they are closer to Jesus. But I'm not volunteering. Okay, I'm a coward. Okay, I just want to inch my way, you know, if I can. Okay, so that's rewards. Okay, okay. Last one. Just quickly, if you need to go, let's go. Okay. Last one is that there is a very important statement that is repeated seven times in the seven letter to seven churches. Okay, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We have to pay attention. Because this statement is only mentioned 16 times in the entire Bible. 16 times, all by Jesus. 8 times in the Gospel. 8 times in the book of Revelation. 7 times is in these 2 chapters. And if you are wise, if I'm wise, I want to pay attention. 7 times. Jesus only mentioned 16 times recorded. If you are wise, you want to pay attention. Primarily, a few things about this. Then you're gonna just pray and end. Okay. 5 implications of this. That means this, the truth in Revelation 2 and 3 are extremely important to the church. And especially to the end time church. If you are wise, we want to pay attention. Extremely important. Second, we have to pay, we have to pay utmost attention to what Jesus said and be diligent and be intentional in responding. He who has ear, hear. He who has ear, hear. Remember I say hear is more than just hearing. Is also responding. The third one, we need the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit in order to understand. That's why he who has ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Pray for revelation. One good prayer is Ephesians 1:17. Pray for understanding, Colossians 1:9. The fourth one, which again I overlap a little bit, we need to respond. We need to respond. We need to respond. If not, this is the fifth one. The more we hear without responding, our heart will become more dull. That's where we get into, is there something new? Okay, Chong, you taught Revelation 2 and 3. 5 years ago, you are teaching the same thing. Is that, do you realize that something is different? Not entirely, everything is different. Because every time you hear, you respond, you hear, respond, you get greater insight. But if you hear, you don't respond, your heart gets more and more dull, more and more numb. And you will always get into this, is there something new? That's why Hebrews 4 says what? Today, you hear my voice. Do not harden your heart. That means, respond. Respond. Let's end with this verse, then we're just going to pray. Take me to Revelation 3, 19. Because every time, you know, I prepare, no, not just this, all that, I want the Lord to speak his heart unto us so that we don't treat this just another theological teaching. We want to engage his heart. You know? 2 weeks ago, he talked about that he's jealous for our food. And listen to this. Revelation 3, verse. The Lord spoke, I think, was it Tuesday or I think it was Wednesday. I felt that it was a little bit rebuke to me, which I said, okay, God, good. Good rebuke. Because a lot of time I realized, I mean, I take responsibility because I'm a leader of this house. We lack zeal. Once we lack zeal, we become casual. See, the Lord is jealous for our fullness. He's zealous and fervent for our fullness. But a lot of time, we are not zealous for our own fullness. So we go into this casual thing, you know. We don't contend and so on. No, don't go and hype. I'm not talking about hype. I'm talking about that. We need to encounter his heart so that something arises within our heart that we have the zeal of the Lord. That's the primary problem with the church of Laodicea. So when the Lord spoke to me, I kind of sobered it. Yes, Lord, it's true. It's true. I take responsibility. It's true. That's why I was speaking to the young people yesterday. I'm not going to allow this casualness. I'm not going to whip you too. I'm praying for the Lord to give us zeal. To give us zeal so that we contend. How can we be the end time army of God if we are so casual? There's no way. You know, people say, oh, okay, John, 10 chapters of Bible a day. How can we be end time army of God if we only read 10 chapters of the Bible a day? I know. Do you get that? Do we square that? Is going to happen automatically? We have this fairy tale idea that one day I wake up, I'm going to be the end time army. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We have to respond. And that's where we need to have zeal. No, zeal is not about earning it. It's about God wanting us to respond. How much you respond will determine how much you receive. Because the Lord has no issue about giving us fullness. But fullness, a lot of time, is determined by how much we desire. That's why we lack zeal. No, I lack zeal. I'm confessing too. We need to contend for it. Jesus said, Revelation 3, verse 19, as many as I love. Thank God. You know, he know that we are, our ego is a little bit fragile. So he said, I love you. Okay. Can I tell you I love you? Okay, get it? Okay. Okay. Enough. Now I'm going to say it. I rebuke and chasten. Wow. Ouch. But it's because of love. He cares for us. He's jealous for our fullness. You know what's the problem in the Laodicean church? They lack zeal. They settle. I'm rich and so on. I want whatever. You know what Jesus say? You know what he say? Get back the zeal. Get zeal. No, I mean, I don't know how Jesus' tone is toned with love, yet very terrifying. Be zealous and repent. Repent is not you beat on the floor and cry and after go back, you never do anything. Repent primarily means you turn, you respond, and you do something about it. Amen? Can we just all stand? Let me say a prayer. No, I know I'm way beyond time. Put your hand on your heart. I'm just going to pray for you. And pray for yourself too. Pray for yourself too. I tell you this week, God is really big time speaking to us. You know, when God big time speaking to us, I'm a little bit terrifying. You know, God, you want to tell us something? You know, I mean, we love to hear His voice, but when He say too much, you also a little bit scared. Yeah, let's put your hand on our heart. Let me say a prayer for you, and then you pray for. After I pray for you, you pray for yourself. The most important thing is always we need to contend for our own heart. The Lord is contending for our heart. There are generations of intercessors who are contending for your heart, young people. But you have to contend for your own heart. Yeah. Let me just pray for you. Jesus, we thank you for so loving us. Thank you for your word even unto us. I pray for this house. I pray for everyone in this room. And more than just people in this room. Even generation of young people in the church. Even in our nations, I ask that will you put zeal in their heart, Lord? Restore zeal in their heart, Lord. You are the one that is jealous even for our fullness. And you say that you will not relent until fullness come. Lord, I pray that will you stir up zeal even among young people so that they will contend for fullness. And they will not settle for anything less, oh God. More than just in prayer or in prayer room, in their life, they are contending for fullness. Put that zeal upon their heart, Lord. And I speak the zeal of God in you. The same zeal of David, I speak that into your heart. The same zeal of Jacob, I speak that into your heart in Jesus' name. God, stir up zeal. Stir up zeal so that the true David generations and the Jacob generation will arise. They will contend for the fullness in their generation until it happened. And they will not let you go unless you cause the fullness to break in. Not just for a moment, but a sustained season. We love you, Lord. We ask that may you continue to speak so clearly to us. We're so thankful for your clear leadership, even in our life, even in this house. We yield to you, we obey you, we align with you because we know that you are good. You can do no harm unto us. You are incapable of harming us. You only have good and perfect plan for us. You are incapable of giving us even that 90% good of the plan. You can only give us good and perfect plan. And because of that, we say yes, Lord. We say yes. We thank you even for your word of rebuke even unto us. We love you, O Lord. I pray even for the body of Christ in this land. May your word strike their heart too. May this be more than just contained within the four walls of this house. Let the word go forth as we preach. Prophetically, let your word run swiftly to awaken many even in this land so that they will arise, a bride that is made ready for the coming of your son. We love you. We bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.